This is ILTA Radio, the source for legal technology practices and ideas to help your career delivered to fit your busy schedule. ILTA Radio, get tuned in.
Welcome to today's ILTA interview conversation recording entitled The Art and Craft of Building an Effective Business Case. I'm your moderator, Glenn Hoxie, Senior Project Manager in Practice Innovation and Legal Solutions at Paul Hastings. I am thrilled to be joined by our speaker today, Kate Kane, Senior Director of Knowledge and Innovation Delivery at Fenwick & West. Welcome, Kate.
Thank you, Glenn.
All right. Well, let's just jump into this. Kate, you were pretty excited when we first spoke about this potential topic. Tell us just a little bit about yourself and your experience, and also how it relates to the art and craft of building an effective business case.
So thanks, Glenn. It's true. This is a topic I'm pretty passionate about. You know, the saying goes, the road toward progress and innovation is riddled with good projects that never quite achieve success. And many of those projects, frankly, were doomed from the very start because the team didn't appreciate how important it was to build a strong business case at the very beginning. You know, I've personally learned this lesson the hard way a few times. I've also seen it reinforced when that effort paid off with successful projects. So my legal technology experience goes back way more than 20 years. In those early days, it included leading WordPerfect to Word conversions, for those that remember those days, introducing brand new DMS technologies. And over the years, I've led efforts related to process automation, financial analytics, pricing, experience management, knowledge management, and just about everything in between. And without exception, I can confirm that the projects that were the most successful were the ones that were built around a really strong business case from the start.
Excellent. Excellent. Well, business case is a term of art that I believe can mean different things to different people and in different contexts. So let's go ahead and start there. To you, what is a business case, or maybe more specifically, what is an effective business case?
Sure. And, you know, the emphasis here is on the word effective. So an effective business case, at least in my opinion, provides the context that your decision makers need in order to make an informed decision. So it answers the fundamental questions related to whatever's on the table, and it should be scaled to fit the situation. So to be clear, I'm not suggesting that every single project requires a complex written treatise. An effective business case should be scaled to fit the situation. So sometimes that might be a thoughtful conversation. Others, it might be a formal presentation or a series of presentations. And yes, sometimes an effective business case is an extensive written document supported by charts and graphs and exhibits or whatever. But whatever form it takes, the business case requires careful thought and a bit of effort. I usually encourage my teams to think of this step as an investment in the future success of the project. The effort that you put into building or developing an effective business case can really have a material impact long after you secure leadership's initial approval to move forward. In addition, I found that this critical first or very early step actually informs actions and decisions before seeking that approval for a purchase, and it continues to influence the team's thought process all the way through the implementation and into the ongoing adoption efforts.
Okay. Well, by the way, I was going to mention that with your WordPerfect to Word conversions, you have ample experience, which makes me so happy to be talking to you today. So based on your experience, I'd like to ask you, where do you recommend that people start? Or what topic or element should they really try to focus on first?
Sure. Well, the short answer is you should start at the beginning, which is not a terribly satisfactory answer. But in other words, really start with clarifying why you're pursuing this purchase or project or initiative or whatever. What specific business goals and objectives are you looking to achieve? And as you try to articulate those goals, please keep in mind that implement technology X or upgrade software Y are not actually business goals. These are a means to an end, but not the end itself. When defining business goals, I like to focus on describing the impact or the outcomes that will result. Why are you implementing technology X or upgrading software Y? What impact will it have on the business? What decisions or processes will it support? So think about it like this. You know, describe what success looks like. Paint a picture of the future in a way your audience can imagine and get excited about. So a real life example, a couple years ago, I had two different teams and we were introducing two major technologies to the firm. And to be successful, we not only needed buy-in from the partners, we needed them to actually engage and do something. So the business case and the strategy documents that we developed for each project included a bit of a creative writing exercise, sort of a day in the life of the practice, X years in the future, where the technology had become such a ubiquitous part of how partners, associates, and others went about their work, they forgot it was even there. We highlighted areas where we knew that were important to those constituents, things that were really hard or really frustrating or even impossible today that could be transformed by this initiative. So let's unpack that a little bit. So sharing this vision of the future accomplished more than building excitement. It established our credibility as a team. People could recognize themselves in that description. They felt heard, that their concerns were being taken seriously. And without turning those discussions into an everything is awful about everything kind of debate around the current state, we demonstrated that we had done our homework and clearly understood the current reality and had a plan for making it better. In my opinion, the business goals section of your business case is the most important part of the exercise. This is your opportunity to show that you know your audience and what's truly important to them, priorities, pain points, aspirations, and challenges. This is your opportunity to connect the initiative directly to the relevant business strategy, whether that's at the firm, practice, department, team, or even individual level. And the most important thing for my technology colleagues to remember is to frame those goals and objectives in business, not technical terms. Read through those goals and put yourself in the shoes of the practice or firm leader and ask, so what, from their perspective. If the connection to the business is clear, you've nailed that section.
Well, Kate, you know, when you were just talking about this, one of the words that really came to my mind was the word listen, a practice that I'm continually trying to improve upon. So that's certainly what I hear there is just listen to your audience, understand your audience to reach those goals. So once you've reached that point where those business goals and objectives are clearly defined, what comes next for you and what are the other elements that we should all be thinking about including?
Sure. So, you know, I mentioned earlier that the scale or the degree of detail really depends on the scale and scope of the project or the investment. But whether you're talking about a multi-million, multi-year investment or a quick no-cost, no-code experiment, the key elements are pretty much the same. So you want to start with who, identify your stakeholders, and be sure to include those who are involved in the project, as well as those who will be impacted either directly or indirectly. Describe their role. Are they active participants or passive observers? Will the impact of the project have on their world or the people that they work with? And then that leads directly into use cases or user stories. Describe the specific problems you're solving or activities you're supporting. Describe the decisions that can be made or the actions that can be taken. So for example, let's say you're implementing a system to capture details related to various matters, deal structures, specific issues argued in litigation, regulatory considerations, and so on. You could list the various features and functions of the system, including the fact that you could search for X or search for Y. And if your reader has a good imagination, they might be able to see the value in those features and functions. But I found it's much more persuasive to frame these features and functions in the context of an example from real life. Partner connects client with colleague in Hong Kong office who led X internal investigations related to specific international trade regulations impacting the retail industry. Or associate leverages the purchase agreements from the last three deals involving X and Y financing terms where the target was represented by ABC firm. Both of these user stories connect the dots between the features and functions of the tool to the decisions and actions facing your key stakeholders. We connected the dots between the system and the impact. And these user stories typically play into and influence the actual requirement section of the business case, which is what comes next. And I tend to break the requirement section into four focal points: people, process, data, and technology. What types of people or roles are required? What processes are being supported, improved, or even eliminated? Data requirements, technologies, and so on. Assuming you're building a business case at the very beginning of your project, you might not have all the answers just yet, and that's okay. In fact, that is to be expected in lots of situations. So just say that in your business case. Call out the questions that you need to be answered or the open issues that need to be addressed in order for the project to progress. So at this point, you've got the business case that includes one, business goals, stakeholders, user stories, and requirements. Other common areas that might also apply to your project include like assumptions. So address those prerequisites that need to be in place or the resources that must be made available in order to remain on schedule. Include an exclusion section to give careful thought to what's not going to be happening. If you're building a business case to invest in a massive makeover of your firm's public website, it might be obvious to you that that does not include reorganizing the intranet as well. But that might not be so obvious to some of your stakeholders. So call that out from the start. You're much better learning right from the beginning that leadership sees these two things as interchangeable at the start than if you're in flight or nearing what you thought was going to be the finish line. The budget section might actually be the easiest area compared to the thought and effort that went into the others, but be sure you also include implementation costs and recurring or ongoing costs to support the future care and feeding and continued success of the initiative. So lots of different sections, depending on the scale of your project.
Well, I have to say that was a wonderful bit of information. I love the exclusions. It reminds me of the importance of scope, making sure everybody understands what's in scope, what's out of scope. So there's a lot of information in here for us to wade through. How do you, in your day-to-day work, how do you balance that against the probability that some of the C-level or senior decision makers may not have the time or energy to comb through all of those details?
Yeah, totally a fair point. There's a lot of information that goes into that business case at the beginning and a lot of homework that is required to develop all of those plans and goals and identifying stakeholders and describing user stories and all of that. But think of these as the raw materials or the ingredients. You need all of that, all of these elements in order to come up with a solid plan that will withstand scrutiny later on. But turning your attention to your C-level or senior decision makers, this is where you got to master the art of the executive summary. And that can be tough to boil down all of that careful thought and context into that one page or one paragraph that your leadership will consume. But you can do it. Don't bury the lead. Come right out and ask what you're asking for. Lead into those business goals and make that explicit connection relevant to the strategic goals of the firm. And then highlight the headlines and decision points that can be supported. Always provide that additional input or additional commentary as people have those follow-up questions. And this will help build your credibility later on. If you've demonstrated that you've done your homework, your leadership will come to understand that they can rely on your recommendations and trust that you can address those follow-up questions when they come.
Well, as we start to wrap up today's episode, I just want to have one really last question for you, which is, you described the business case as an investment in the future success of the project. What do you mean by that? And how does the business case come into play after you get the green light to move the project forward or the purchase forward?
Yeah, all kinds of ways around relationship building and that kind of thing, but really to really focus in on it. Ultimately, an effective business case does a couple of things. First, it will help you secure the approval that you need in order to move the initiative forward. Second, and probably more important, an effective business case provides a basis for the project planner roadmap. It provides a critical control against scope creep and distractions by establishing the yardstick against future or potential changes can be measured. So if a change is consistent with the strategy, goals, and objectives, go for it. If a change is not consistent, either reject it or change the plan. But either way, it should be a conscious and intentional decision. And third, and in my opinion, the most important point, an effective business case provides the foundation for your engagement and adoption campaign. This is your chance to road test the what's in it for me messaging when you're talking about your business goals and you're talking about those user stories. This is your chance to learn what resonates and what doesn't resonate with people. So when the time comes to make the big launch announcement or to launch your actual engagement and adoption campaign, you're ready to go. After all, the end result is to get people to adopt whatever it is that you're introducing to your organization. That's the key. That's the definition of success there.
Well, that's wonderful and so comprehensive. Really appreciate it. So let's go ahead and wrap up things for today. What I heard was an effective business case that starts with the why and it builds out the relevant components really so they can be an investment in the future of initiatives, big and small. But there's so much more to explore on this front. So we ask everybody to please join us for future episodes where we will dig into developing use cases and requirements and evaluating potential solutions and more. Thanks, Kate, so much. Really appreciate your time today.
Thanks, Glenn. I appreciate it.
All right. Take care.
You've been listening to ILTA Radio. Subscribe to ILTA's podcasts through iTunes or Podbean and get alerted about new recordings. ILTA Radio. Get tuned in.